as we're approaching Christmas, there are traditions we have and we want to have. There are traditions we have we don't know how to get rid of. In fact, there are traditions we don't even know we have that are counterproductive. We're going to spend some time today looking at this spectrum of traditions.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. It's a special week. We're talking about managing traditions in this Christmas time. And of course, you can always hear all of these broadcasts online at parentingtoday.org. Share it with your friends. If you've missed a previous one, you can catch up. And we have been talking about traditions. And you're saying, what, we have traditions we don't even know we have?
Well, I think we do. I think one of the things that's hilarious is we have incredible expectations about what Christmas is going to do for us. That's a tradition. We come into it every year. It's funny. We have traditions of what Christmas is going to do for us. And if we don't take some responsibility, we come out the other end with, wow, that was disappointing and exhausting and expensive. We have traditions of exhausting ourselves. We have traditions of overspending. And we have traditions. This is a big area of disagreement or conflict concerning finances at Christmas time. We also have traditions of having a relative that irritates us all Christmas.
We all have that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we all do. It's a very stressful time. I think it's stressful on the marriage because we don't back up and say, let's develop a budget. Let's make a list. Let's stay within the budget. I think it's stressful for families because we get so busy decorating and doing other things that we forget to just be and stop. I think there are many moms who get very exhausted and frustrated. Why won't you help? Is their kind of attitude while they're smiling towards their husband. I think there's a tradition of exhaustion and we don't even know it. I read an article on a Christmas pageant that's one of the nation's largest Christmas pageants. And it was a very interesting article in a Christian publication about people that almost like to have the tradition of going in and then being able to tell everybody, do you know how many nights I have to do this? This is 18 nights and I'm suffering for Jesus. And they've lost the whole ministry of it. If I can't go in with a good attitude, I'm not in the ministry. I'm in drudgery and my payment is I want people to feel bad for me. And what a martyr you are. You do that whole thing. Wow. I think we don't realize all the traditions that are counterproductive. I think there's another tradition that many families have to figure out how to deal with. And many families in their past have suffered some kind of loss during the Christmas season, sometime between Thanksgiving. And that was in my life. My mom died at Christmas. And so Christmas for a long time was, not so much fun. And I had to decide, okay, how can I really celebrate that my mom got to be with Jesus at Christmas? And how can I, first of all, find a comfort in that? And I had to go back through some of her stuff. And she owned a Bible. My dad didn't. And go back through a Bible and see things underlined and realize, okay, you know, my dad didn't really want us to go to church, but I'm seeing this. And my grandma was a believer and believed that my mom. So I've got the comfort in that now. Mm-hmm. Then I had to go the next step and realize I'm not going in sad to Christmas. It's not a loss. So how do I celebrate my mom? And really the way for me to celebrate my mom was to celebrate my wife at Christmas. And I have a box that has some of my mom's old Christmas wish things in letters she gave to my dad, which are absolutely hilarious. And there's a little flap over it and read if you dare, all the list and the last thing, read if you dare. And we were in New York living there at the time, and it was a mink coat, which is absolutely hilarious if you lift it up.
Did she usually get it?
She got the mink coat. And see, what my dad did have is he had money. He didn't have happy. He had money. And so he was weird about Christmas after her death from that point on. And I had to recapture Christmas, and I didn't until I came to Christ. And I didn't until the loss forced me into the gain. I didn't until I began personal study of just taking some of these Christmas journeys that some of the people that came to Christmas do. And actually realized that we'll talk about this next week when we do a 15-minute Devo each day that can be downloaded. But realizing that the innkeeper, what a bad rap. Maybe he stayed in the stable too. We don't know. But we hate this guy because there was no room at the inn. What kind of innkeeper was he? Well, maybe he'd already given up his bed. Maybe he was sleeping in one of the stalls. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was all in, and we'll get to heaven and we'll see innkeeper on a name badge there in heaven.
Right.
Wow, you guys have been judgmental. Take the speck out of your own eye. But I think we walk into the Christmas season with some emotional traditions, with some financial traditions, with some marital traditions, with some busyness traditions, with some stuff that we need to go through and realize, wait a minute, this is the greatest day There would be no Easter if Jesus didn't bother to come to begin with. And probably the greatest sacrifice Jesus made is not the cross. This is debatable, but I think the greatest sacrifice is leaving the throne and coming down here to be totally rejected and coming down here knowing he was going to the cross, knowing he was going to be the final Passover lamb. I think the greatest sacrifice and the greatest gift we get is not the empty cross, but the full manger. He came, and he came all in and didn't come as a king. He came approachable, so shepherds and magi, both ends of the financial spectrum, could come and visit and receive. And so I began to realize I needed to develop a different Christmas tradition, and it's not about materialism. And so I think you need to go back through what are some of the downsides that we do repetitively every year. Do we spend too much money? Let's back up. Do we come out the other end not having given anything to Jesus? Let's back up. Do we have a difficult in-law that invades Christmas? Let's back up and decide that this in-law is the Christ representative at our Christmas. And we're going
to treat them nicely.
We're going to be so unbelievably nice, and they're going to take advantage of it, and that's okay. And boundaries are okay, however. Figure out your boundaries. And then the loss. Is there the loss that puts a little bit of a cloud? How are we going to celebrate that in a better way and say, kids, we know where grandma is, or we know where mom is, and if we don't, Jesus has that somehow. All things work together for good. I don't know how that'll work. Because we know you have to accept Christ to go to heaven. Yes. And that's what Christmas is about. Let's decide to worship this Christmas.
And earlier this week, you talked also about your son-in-law that didn't grow up with some Christmas traditions, so he likes them now. And that's sort of a story my dad has shared many times. He grew up with a very simple Christmas. It just wasn't a big deal. And then he met my mom with all these Christmas traditions she does every
year.
That's
male, female there. I'm sorry. And I think they represent us well.
Well, he said that he never celebrated Christmas fully until he met my mom, which was already in his 30s. And he understood Christmas in a whole different light because of the simple little things that she brought up, even things like ornaments and the materialistic things, but it just sort of came out and became almost magical to him, in the nice sense of the word. But so you say it's a male-female thing?
Well, I think that as males, we tend to be pragmatic and we tend to only like to do things where we see outcome. And we don't realize traditions done well, not just done mindlessly, give us an outcome that will glue a family together. I just think it's thinking through using these traditions well. But I think we also have negative traditions that we don't realize every Christmas season. There's a Grinch part of Christmas that follows each of us. And we've got to deal with those. Why do we spend January? You charge this on the credit card? Why don't we get out front of that? We actually have these negative other end of the spectrum traditions that are very negative and costly to the relationship, not only to the checkbook, and decide ahead of time, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to spend. And the cheap person like Bob needs to be a little more generous. And when Rosemary says, well, I think we ought to give so-and-so a gift at Christmas, and me saying, why? Why would we? Why? Because it's part of our testimony, Bob. And you know, Bob, Carla cuts your hair every December, and you played a part in her coming to Christ. And I think you need to give her, really? And we have to walk through those. And I think we have to develop the list and think realistically. And we have to decide that it's not necessarily an add on to spending more money. Our kids don't need quite as much as they get.
Yeah.
And so thinking through what we give them. And rather than give them all the things they want, let's give them some of the things they need. I always gave creative gifts like Legos and spent a lot of time playing. I love Legos, spending a lot of time creating things and even competing at that. But we get on this treadmill now from basically December 1st on to January 15th when the rest of the bills come in.
Right.
And we do the same thing every year. We go through the same up, expecting things to happen, have time off, and then down into, wow, that was it, and just hope our
it's
team.
Over.
Yeah, we hope our team wins during the bowl games.
Right.
That'll give us excitement. And we miss. The Magi didn't do that. They got so ready that they got nothing but the birth of the king that Christmas, and it broke them. And it was incredible. And they went away ecstatic, and they went away different. I want that for my kids. But you got to think, or it'll be all the thinking will be done for you.
What about the Christmas traditions that are good and bad? Sort of like you mentioned earlier this week, it's almost a tradition for you to grumble about a couple things. And for example, in our house, gingerbread houses, to build those.
I can't even believe you're bringing that up. I hope my wife doesn't hear this.
Well, we did it the past 2 years. It's only been about a little over 2 years that I've been married. So I said, you know, I didn't do it when I grew up, but I always thought that building a gingerbread house was fun. So I bought two of them the first year. Boys did one, girls did another.
Oh, I love it.
They fought.
I love it.
So
though,
the next year I bought mini ones so that each one can build their own. They fought about that. Yeah. So this year I said, forget it. No more gingerbread. You're fighting all the time. I said, we're going to do cookies. We did them a couple weeks ago. And what were they complaining about? That we don't have a gingerbread house to do. I said, but you guys fight so
what
much.
What did that tell you? What did that tell you? That told you huge. That told you it's part of our tradition, Mom, to fight. I would so go back to the gingerbread house.
I mean,
house.
The grumbling is incredible, and it's exhausting.
That's part of it, and it does get exhausting, but that's when Rosemary looks across the table and her eyes get big, like saying, I need a little help here. And then we have to have the discussion ahead of time. Bob, tomorrow, Saturday morning, we're going to make gingerbread houses. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about. I bought two. You like the boys against the girls thing. I bought two. And so to do it and to be separate as we're doing it and be laughing and be competing. But I need your help. I need you all in. I need you.
So she's got to ask you for that, right?
She's got to prep you up. She's got to get me going on this, realizing it's not about the gingerbread house. It's about a family activity together where they don't want those gummy things on the top.
And they eat them.
Yes, they do. And so where we got to find something to get creative, and where in our world we would add something every year that we hoped you didn't have, like out of the chimney, something that comes out of the chimney that looks like smoke.
Wow, you guys are competitive.
No, it is competitive. And then in our world, we would invite Larry, the next door neighbor, over to judge, and he would always not let me win. Whatever team I was on, we didn't win. But we all laughed. We always, always laughed. But we complained all the way, and then we tended to show them to Grandma and Grandpa, and they made a big deal. I think it's not the product that's the tradition. It's the exercise. And here's where you'll be blessed, and I'm sorry it takes so long for this blessing. They will do gingerbread houses with their own children.
Yeah.
Done. They will be doing them with their own children. So I think end of the day here, I'd go back to the gingerbread house. I personally might even go back, even because there's days left to do it. I realized we're doing a tree. We don't have one of these gingerbread houses under our tree or the two houses. It's not a tree in this household. So we're back to, I think I'd go back. That's just me. But you're building a tradition, and unfortunately, you let my immaturity of the traditional grumbling talk you out of the tradition. And I remember Rosemary saying some nights, I know in your heart of hearts, you know this is the right thing to do, Bob. I know you talk about this being the right thing to do. I know if I was videotaping you for people to see, this is the real Bob Barnes, you'd be in a better mood. But here's the deal. Your heavenly Father is watching you. Help me with these children, because when you come to the table jacked, it's fun. When you come to the table bummed, how fast can we get this done? Glue, 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 done, 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 done. We're done. It's a bummer. Help us with this house. So, I don't know. I think I'd go back. And, it happened again, Thanksgiving. And it was kind of funny. I was in I wear jeans everywhere except to work. And I was in a pair of jeans and a white shirt, untucked. And we're ready for Thanksgiving. And she said, I'm going upstairs to change. I said, okay, see you in a minute. And then she says, aren't you coming upstairs to change? And I just caught me kind of walking off like a four-year-old being reprimanded. I went upstairs to change and I'm laughing. The whole point is to point. Mm-hmm. Point to family. Point to Jesus. What are your negative traditions? Find them and point. We've got to decide that we're building family and a family that points to Jesus at Christmas. And we've got to do it without grumbling. For Christ's sake and for His glory.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, this week talking about managing your Christmas traditions. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for our Thursday edition, the tradition of wasting time during the break. What to do when that week comes around, those weeks off are coming around. And so that's our topic for tomorrow on Parenting Today. If you want more information about Dr. Bob Barnes or Sheridan House Family Ministries, you can go online to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. ccfm.org. To hear this broadcast again, to share it, or to even sign up and read the corresponding blog every weekday, you can find that online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. We'll see you here tomorrow for another edition of Parenting Today.